You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Those of you who listen to this program on a regular basis are aware that we talk to people who have various illnesses or disease, many of them life-threatening. Some people defy the use of conventional treatment and opt for cannabis oil, while others use a combination of both. Our guest today joins us from San Francisco, California. His name is Eric. He doesn't want us to use his last name, so we'll respect that. He was diagnosed with anal cancer. And he joins us today to tell his story. Eric, thank you very much for joining us.
You're more than welcome. My pleasure.
Give us an overview of some of the health issues you've been facing over the last number of years.
My issues are I'm HIV positive for the last 28 years. I had anal cancer. I was diagnosed with hepatitis B. I've got a seizure disorder, I've got high cholesterol, and I've got peripheral neuropathy in my feet due to the number of medication and the chemo and the radiation I took in the past. I've got AKI, so it's an acute kidney injury that was due to 2000 to a very powerful chemo that I had for non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And that's about it. You know, it's, I think that's enough.
I think that's enough, too. Is there anything that is working very well for you physically? Tell me when you were diagnosed with anal cancer.
I was diagnosed in 2013. During a checkup, my doctor did a prostate exam and felt like a bump in my anus just on the side. And he said, well, let's go have that checked. So I went to the hospital, and the doctor looked at it and said, we need to take biopsy of that because we don't know exactly, you know, the status of it or anything. And at the time, it was the size of a pea, basically. So at the time, I didn't have health insurance. So it took 2 months to get the appointment to get to the doctor. And it took 2 more months to get to the biopsy. So by the time I got to the biopsy, the tumor had grown to about the size of chickpea. And it took 4 biopsies. And out of the 4, 1 was positive. So now they got back to my doctor and they told me, well, we need to take care of that. But the problem here, still, I didn't have health insurance. So between the moment I got diagnosed with anal cancer and make a plan for treatment and get the party going, basically, it took me no few months. And what happened, the minute that you start fooling around with a tumor, it gets defensive. And it started growing faster and faster and faster. By the time I got to the surgeon, then I got to the oncologist, the tumor was the size of my thumb, basically. And I was lucky enough that the tumor was just on the edge, so they could pull it out, you know, and they could see it without going into surgery or anything. At that point, that's when they started to decide, you know, on a treatment.
So, Eric, what sort of treatment did you undertake?
What they prescribed me was 2 sessions of chemo. That was a drip for 4 days, twice. And what they do, they connect you with a pump that you go home with, and you get a drip of chemo for 48 hours. After 48 hours, you go back to the hospital, you put a refill, and you're good for another 48 hours. After the first chemo, I started a session of 30 radiation. They prescribed 30 radiation. The radiation were done at UCSF here in San Francisco, and it takes about 5 minutes. It's like nothing happened. You just, you know, they do a mapping first where they're going to pinpoint the tumor. But what they don't tell you, like they say, yeah, we're going to pinpoint only the tumor, but it doesn't work that way. The radiation goes all the way through your body and about 6 inches around the tumor. So what happened, the first week, it's nothing really happened. But after that, just imagine that you have white skin and you go to the sun in the desert and you stand there for days and your skin become crisp and start falling off. You have no more skin. It's like to the flesh, basically. So in between my legs, I had no more skin. So the nurse at the hospital used to give me a special cream to promote skin growth and all that. But even with that, it was like I couldn't walk. I couldn't wear clothes. And that was after one-third of my prescription. I still had to go through 20 more radiation. So the nurse were the backbone of my treatment. And without them, I wouldn't have done it. And they just kept, come on, Eric, you have to do it, you have to do it. And at that point, I was starting to get depressed. So that's when I contacted Corey, you know, for the first time, because I heard about cannabis oil, but I never really looked into it. But I had so much time in my hand with the computer, I started to look into it. And Corey told me, Rick Simpson, look at this and do research. I just put the word Rick Simpson oil, and I just went from there and from there. And I asked Corey to point me in the right direction, basically. And I look into it, and I didn't know how to go about it, how to buy it or to make it or anything. I knew in San Francisco we had few dispensary. So I asked my oncologist, I said, can I have a prescription for medical marijuana? And she gave me one. So I went there, and they were very helpful, actually. They had 2 kind of oil, one with high THC and one with a high CDB. And they told me, but if for cancer, get the one with the high CDB, and they gave me the instruction how to use it. At the beginning, I didn't want to take it internally. So me and my partner, what we said, let's try something. At that point, I had to stop the radiation because I was so burnt, I couldn't take it anymore.
It was just too painful for you.
Pardon?
It was just too painful, the radiation.
Oh, painful is not the word.
Eric, it sounds like torture. Honest to God, it sounds like out-and-out torture.
I didn't hear that, Corey.
She said it sounds like torture.
Oh, it was. I mean, it's like take a blowtorch, you know, and just put it on your skin. That's basically how it feels, you know. You don't feel the radiation treatment. It doesn't feel anything, nothing. But it's after a while, it's a buildup. you know, that it really burns the tissue. And what's happening, it doesn't only burn your skin, it burns the organ on the inside. The radiation goes all the way through your body. So wherever your tumor is, you know, if you have, you know, your bladder, your prostate, or whatever that's behind it, gets burned also. So you end up with all kind of problems. I couldn't go to the bathroom anymore. It was problem after problem. I told my radiologist that I need to take a break. You know, I really cannot do this any longer. So we took a break for a week. And that's when me and my partner, we started cannabis oil. I said, okay. And we kind of not follow the rules, make up something on our own. What we did is, since my tumor was on the outside, was visible, we were applying cannabis oil on the tumor directly. And we were putting a piece of plastic wrap over it. And I was sleeping with it all night long. And we did that from that point on until the end.
Eric, were you using high THC?
The high was the THC?
Yes.
I would have to look it up.
The stuff that makes you high.
Yeah, it was. Could it be in the 30%, something like that? Is it possible?
It's possible, or higher.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a very high like the Rick Simpson oil. They didn't have that at the time.
Right, so it's probably about 30% then, but it was the THC, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
The THC was, I think, 17%. It was very low. But the other one, the THC, was like 85%, you know, it was very, very, very high. I didn't want really to get high, and I, for what I read, and I learned that the CDB was the important part in the oil for my cancer. Anyway, so after doing that on a regular basis, I started the radiation again. So I did both treatment at the same time, without telling my radiologist and my oncologist. I just did it on my own. And the radiologist was taking picture of my tumor on a regular basis to see how much it was shrinking. And it was shrinking pretty good. But near the end, he tells me, you know, Eric, I don't think we're going to be able to remove it completely. And after, I think I did altogether 37 sessions, something like that, of radiation. So at my last appointment with him, he said, yeah, there's still a pretty good size, probably the size at that point of a small llama bean, basically. He said, it's going to continue shrinking even after the treatment, but I don't think we'll be able to remove it completely. But we'll keep, you know, checking and see if there's any option we can do. So meanwhile, me and my partner would continue the cannabis oil every day for another month and a half. And so I've got my appointment with the radiologist. And during that time, my partner's name is Peter. And he said, am I dreaming if it's getting smaller? And you know your body very well. So you, mm-hmm. you know, you have a bump or something, you feel it, you know it. And I was touching at the tumor. I said, it is getting smaller. I was very hopeful, and I was very happy, actually. I said, I could see some result. I said, wow. So we just continued doing the cannabis oil. So here comes my appointment with the radiologist. They call my name, and I go in the room, and like usual, drop the pants down and go on the table, and he pull the curtain, and said, is that okay if my assistant come and check? Now she's studying and she'd like to see. And he looked, and if you could have seen his face, his mouth was open and he said, it's gone. I said, I know it's gone. He said, I don't get it. I said, what happened? I said, do you want me to tell you the truth? I said, yeah. He said, well, I've been using cannabis oil for a few months on top of the treatment I got. And I'm still doing it. I didn't stop. And his assistant looked at it. I said, yeah, wow, there's nothing there. And he looked, he had a picture on his phone. He showed his assistant, look, this is the tumor we started with. That was the size of my tongue, basically. And he said, and it's gone. And he said, you know, Eric, I'm glad you did, because I couldn't tell you to do it. But I'm very happy you did, and I'm happy to see the result of your cancer being completely gone. And now it's been 2.5 years, and I'm still cancer-free. I go to my checkup every 6 months. Everything is clean. Everything is fine. And I have a tube of oil, a syringe of oil in my fridge at all time, just in case.
Do you use the cannabis oil on a daily basis still?
No, I don't. I stopped about 2 months after I saw him the last time. And I figured, well, it seems like under control. Let me stop. Because I take so much medication for my HIV and everything. I've got a big regimen of medication and I take. And it was another step I had to do. And I want to put that memory, you know, on the side, on the back burner. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, it's over now. So let's quit. But I will always keep some oil handy. You know, if there's ever anything that starts again, that'll be my first course of action for sure.
You know, Eric, if you could, it's really important to have some kind of maintenance dose to keep that at bay. The equivalent of about a gram a month, so just a very tiny amount that you could take each night. I really encourage you to do that if it's at all possible.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Corey. I've got your heart. I'm understanding your voice.
No, what she said is it's very important to take a maintenance dose every night, even if you can only take a gram a month.
Okay.
You want to make sure everything is maintained and under control.
Okay. That would be to basically just take a small portion at night, every night.
Yes, just a small amount.
I can do that, definitely. Definitely. If you tell me, I'll follow your advice, definitely.
Eric, did you notice any difference in some of the other problems, physical problems you had when you took the cannabis oil?
The seizure result, I didn't have a seizure since 95. So usually, you know, when you have a seizure disorder, you have that aura that comes before you get a seizure. And I used to have that, and I don't have that anymore. Because I kind of see, when you have a seizure disorder for so many years, and it's not epileptic, it's just a seizure disorder, so you kind of know how to deal with it. When you feel one coming, wherever I am, I know I have to close my eyes, I have to lay down on the floor and take some big breath, and usually the aura goes away. Since I took the cannabis oil, I didn't get any aura whatsoever, nothing. So that's one thing. The the rest of it, the neuropathy is still the same. And one of my big problem is the cholesterol, because with my HIV status, I take some antiviral medication that raise my cholesterol. And since I'm undetectable for so many years, it's kind of tricky to change my medication without triggering my viral load to go up. And I don't know if the cannabis oil can do something about it. I never really follow it with that. You know, I just basically use the cannabis oil to treat my cancer. That was my primary goal.
I just want to ask Corey a question here, Eric. When Eric first contacted you, do you remember that conversation you had with him?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, because, I mean, it really hit close to home because that's what I had been faced with as well.
Yeah.
Very much so.
You were very lucky, Eric, in having a good oncologist who knew that you were taking cannabis oil, but, pardon me, it was a radiologist, wasn't it? Your radiologist knew you were taking cannabis oil, but was supportive of you.
Yeah, at the end. He didn't know during my treatment.
Yeah.
I only told him at my last visit with the radiologist, that's how he find out.
Yeah.
And he supported it. But at the time, for a reason, he couldn't tell me, go get some cannabis oil and do a cannabis treatment.
No.
He couldn't tell me that. But he was happy that I did it.
And they probably wouldn't tell you that either, because if you went for the cannabis oil and did not do the treatment, then he would not get the money that was required for the treatment.
Well, that's it. You know?
That's right.
it's all about red tape and money and pharmaceutical, you know?
Eric, I have read that people with HIV who take cannabis oil, now this is some people, and this is just a general comment, but
yeah.
People who take cannabis oil on a regular basis with HIV find that it helps them and their HIV goes into remission, if that is possible. Is that the incorrect term to use?
I don't know if that's the correct term, but yeah, that's essentially what happens.
Yeah.
You become undetectable.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you ever thought of that?
Yeah. See, I'm undetectable for many years with my antiviral medication. The thing is, the way HIV medication works is I've been HIV positive for 28 years. So I've been through the whole regimen from the beginning with AZT and all those bad drugs from the beginning all the way till today with the new drug that are better. The problem with that is when you stop an HIV medication, you cannot get back to it because your body become immune to that medication. I don't know if you remember, there was a period where doctor used to put patient on vacation. They used to stop the HIV medication for 6 months, try to get the viral load to go up, and start them on a new medication to try to get them undetectable with that new medication. For some, it did work, and some it didn't. But they realized that you can never go back to an old medication. Because that medication, you become immune to it. It doesn't work for you. So in my case, I get some genotype tests and all that, and they know which medication works on me. Since I've been HIV for so long, I'm basically one medication from the new one, basically. Or the old one, I cannot go back to them. If I start cannabis oil, I would still have to take my medication. That's my case here. I cannot afford to stop my HIV medication. That means I would have to go back to my last resort, basically. And usually an HIV medication is good for about 3 years, and you become immune to it slowly. So they switch you to another one. So I've got one in reserve, and that's it. I've done them all. I'm a pretty complicated case in the HIV and hepatitis department. My liver doctor, who's a fabulous doctor, told me, said, you know, Eric, I like you because you're a very hard case, and I like complicated case. And she got my hepatitis B down to nothing, below 14. That's basically undetectable. It was into the billion before. You couldn't even count it. It was so high. I'm doing pretty well with hepatitis B and HIV. Cannabis oil could be an option, but I don't know if I would stop any of my retroviral medication. It's a big risk for me. You know, it's if I had a guarantee that it would work and keep my viral load completely undetectable anytime. You know, I worked so hard for many years to get it to that point, to undetectable. And you know, I'm one of the lucky ones that's still here after 28 years being positive.
Eric, it was very good of you to talk to us. Thank you very much for your time. We very much appreciate it, and good luck in the future. It seems like you've got some of your health issues under control.
I do, and, you know, it's my pleasure to, you know, to talk to you and Corey. And Corey, thank you very much. You're the one who showed me the light, basically, to really, you know, told me and pointed me in the right direction and to do my own legwork. And I did my research, and with the help of Corey, we did it. And like one of my first oncologists, in 2000, when I had non-Hodgkin lymphoma, she told me, she hugged me and she said, we did it together. It's not only the oncologist, it's you and me together. And that's how I view Corey. It's Corey and me together did it. And I just want to thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, you're welcome, and have a great day.
You too.
And that's it, another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. Just a reminder, if you'd like to advertise with us or you'd like to sponsor the program, contact us at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.